Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 24th of September 2017. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we celebrated harvest. So let's go and join Tim as he's introducing the subject.
Harvest. Harvest. What a brilliant reason to come together to celebrate God's faithfulness. And that's what we're thinking of this morning. God's goodness in the way that the seasons are organized by his power, the miracle of that amazing cycle of growing and reaping, and the privilege when we think about it, especially when we see so much on the news, of living in a land where all of our needs are met. That gives us a good reason to celebrate. In our investigating over this last year for our 200th anniversary, we've been looking up all sorts of interesting pictures and stuff, and we came across a couple about harvest. Look at that one. That's harvest around 1927, so heading that way, because the church used to be that way round, for those of you who are new, and we used to have really uncomfortable pews. They were horrible. When I was a teenager, we used to hide in the back corner over here. But that was 1927. That was their harvest display then. And you can have another one. About 1970-ish, then that one was up. So they did all sorts of things over the archway over there. And the thing is, when you look at those sort of pictures, you realise how much a big deal harvest used to be. With so many people engaged and involved in farms, and most people growing at least a proportion of their own food, in the past, harvest displays were big and impressive. But the heart of our celebration remains, even if today the displays are slightly less extravagant. It is all about celebrating the faithfulness of God and our dependence on him. And so I'd like us to think a little bit about that this morning. And to do that, we're going to use a chapter from the Bible, from John 21. And if you can, would you like to read with me? After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon, Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon, Peter announced, I'm going fishing. The rest of them replied, we're going with you. They went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them. Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast? They answered, no. He said, throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens. They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the master. When Simon Peter realized it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've just caught. Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore. 153 big fish. And even with all these fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, breakfast is ready. Not one of the disciples dared ask, who are you? They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. That's a lovely version, isn't it? It's sort of a real sort of story. And it enters into what the disciples must have been feeling and facing on that amazing morning. And what it reminds me of is this. There was a renewal of thanksgiving. Jesus is a fair way off from the shore, and he shouts out for disciples, "Go fishing! Go fishing!" And the result is that huge catch of fish and a very happy breakfast together on the beach. The Jesus they had seen die was now alive and living and eating with them. The third time since he'd visited, since his resurrection. Night's fishing, and Jesus provided them with an abundance of fish. And harvest is the time of year when we remember and give thanks for all of God's provision to us. He is the faithful God. Now, when you ask children what they would thank God for food, it's normally chocolate. Or some such thing. It's a time, this time of year, to recognise that the God who holds all things together, providing and sustaining even the seasons, is literally giving us the harvest. Now, I've been rubbish this year. I normally plant a few bits and pieces to grow. And I did plant some beans, but I've been rubbish at remembering to water them. Of course, they don't grow when you don't water them. But the reality is that they have grown. I've had some, even though I've been rubbish at looking after them. But the thing is, God isn't rubbish at looking after things. And we celebrate his abundance and his goodness, his power in sustaining the world in which we live. And when we are small children, we're taught to say thank you when we receive a present. And today, that's what we're doing as God's children. We're saying thank you to God, a recognition of God's gifts to us. So it's a simple question. Will we renew our thanksgiving this harvest? For those of you who like to count how many points I have, there's four. Okay, just in case you get too excited when we get to three. Here's the second one. This harvest, I want to remember God's call. On the beach in our story, it was a time of renewing their relationship with Jesus. As he prepared breakfast for them, I wonder how many of the fishermen remembered when they had been called by Jesus at another time. When Jesus began his ministry, he called some of the disciples off the beach to come and follow him. And here we are, back on the beach, with Jesus giving them directions once more. And so for the disciples, this breakfast party was a time to remember God's call on their lives. Each of them had come to a decision for themselves to follow Jesus. And that call had led them through times of excitement and challenge and pain and immense joy. And now the living Jesus is with them. And the calling comes again through his instructions. He says, "Throw the net on the right side of the boat." And when they follow the master's directions, then the resulting catch absolutely amazes them. They're amazed and staggered by God's provision. And most commentators point out that it's not an accident there was 153 fish, but that actually it was a way of referring to how many countries there were in the world at that time. That was the known number of countries. that the disciples would have been aware of. And so the calling to communicate the amazing love of God would go to every nation on earth. And when Jesus first called the fishermen disciples, what did he say to them? I will make you fishers of men. So when you tie together those little details from the story with the call that God has already placed on their lives, you can see the significance of this breakfast party. So what about your call to follow Jesus? What would Jesus use to remind you of his calling on your life? Might not have been fishing, but what would he use to remind you that he's called you and is calling you to follow him? And today at this harvest celebration, Jesus wants us to renew our own sense of call to be fishers of men. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And harvest is a time to recognize God's love in providing our physical needs, but it can be so much more than that. It's a time to recognize that the God who holds everything together, providing and sustaining the seasons and the harvest, is the same God who calls us to follow him. So this morning, will we remember God's call this harvest? This story also speaks about the reality of our relationship with God. And to think briefly about this, we need to get back to the story of what's happening on the beach. So do you want to join with me again and read a little bit more of the story? After breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Master, you know I love you, Jesus said. Feed my lambs. He then asked a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Master, you know I love you. Jesus said, shepherd my sheep. Then he said it a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was upset that he asked for the third time, do you love me? So he answered, Master, you know everything there is to know. You've got to know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go. He said this to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, follow me. Turning his head, Peter noticed the disciple Jesus loved following right behind. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, Master, what's going to happen to him? And Jesus said, if I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me. Peter had a dark secret, which as far as we know, only he knew about. Before Jesus was taken by those who would crucify him, he said that even if others left him and ran away, that he never would. And Jesus pointed out that Peter would deny him three times before that night was over. Sure enough, when it came to it, Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. And here we have Jesus honing in on that area of pain and hurt in Peter's life. He asks him three times if Peter loves him, contrasting with that awful night when he denied him. But what we don't get in our English translation is that Peter and Jesus were talking on different levels. In Greek, which the New Testament was originally written in, there are different words to describe different aspects of love. So Jesus asks Peter, "Do you agape me?" Meaning the highest form of love, that amazing self-giving love, and it's used in relationship to God. And Peter replies with the word philia, meaning brotherly love. So Jesus tries again. Peter again replies with philia. Finally, Jesus changes the word to philia, and Peter replies he does philio Jesus. Now, you might say, what on earth is going on about? Why all this analysis? But the reality is that Jesus was calling Peter to a deeper experience of his love. He was calling Peter to a deeper understanding of what it means to love Jesus, what it means to love God. He wants Peter to experience the deepest and best relationship with him that he can have. It's about the reality of his relationship with God. It's said in John's Gospel that Jesus came to bring life and to bring it to the full. And to experience that kind of love and that kind of life, then we need to let God touch and heal the deepest hurts and brokenness that we know. To allow God right in to the centre of who we are. God's faithfulness, which we are celebrating today, is not just about his provision of food, but it's about his provision of love. In its deepest sense. So today, will we get motivated about the reality of our relationship with God this harvest? It's also about being refocused to live life well. This comes from that second part of John 21 that we read together. Did you notice something interesting? When things get a bit close for comfort, often people will try to divert the attention away from themselves. And that's what Peter does here. He tries to divert the discussion away from himself to a fellow disciple over there. He tries to divert the soul-searching Jesus away from his own life and asks about what the future holds for somebody else. But the thing is, Jesus won't let Peter get away with that. That diversion tactic doesn't work with Jesus. He comes back to him and he says to Peter, "Follow me. Don't worry about him. You follow me." I come across people who do their very best to avoid what Jesus is saying to them by managing to bring in everybody else and every other question and every other possible scenario to avoid facing the reality of the simple call that God places on us. He says, "Follow me." But what about this, and what about that, and what about so-and-so, and what about that? No, Jesus says, "Follow me." But I can't believe until I've sorted this bit out. I can't believe until I've sussed that thing out. And Jesus says, "Follow me." But I want to know about that, and how about my grandmother, and what about my sister, and what about... And Jesus says, "Follow me." It brings it right back to who we are. The question of what will or will not happen to others may or may not get answered. But we do have the ability to answer for our own lives. It's about keeping, or perhaps for some, starting to refocus our lives towards Jesus. And that enables us to let go and to trust God for what happens to other people and to be released to simply follow Him. So today, will we get refocused to live life well this harvest? I told you I was going to be short. Wasn't that good? It's just a reminder, thanking God for His faithfulness. In thinking about thankfulness and God's faithfulness, it includes lots of different things. It includes our food, our friends, our family, our feelings. And God is interested in the whole of our lives. And in fact, the word salvation means wholeness. That's what Jesus came to bring, wholeness. So to truly give thanks this harvest, we thank God for every way that He touches our lives. So we thank God for food and His provision of stuff and things. Things that make life livable. And we thank God for it. Just for a second, what's your favourite food? Yes?
I like chocolate.
Chocolate. I knew it would come up. I knew it would come up. Anybody else got a favourite?
Chips.
Come on. Sorry?
Chips.
Chips. Chips, pretty good. Well, they are a vegetable. That is one of your five a day. Ish. Oh, sad. Anybody else got a favourite? Sorry? Shepherd's pie. Yeah, that's pretty good. I do a good shepherd's pie, actually. Yes. Oh, really? Oh, fantastic. Anybody else? Good, good. Well, we're all different. This harvest, we celebrate God's faithfulness. We celebrate His goodness. We celebrate food. But we also celebrate friends. We celebrate all of those relationships that nourish us, including our relationship with God. He wants to nourish us today. He wants us to be built up. We celebrate feelings. That's a big one, really. To thank God for the feelings of love and joy and hope and peace and all of the rest of those things that He longs to pour into our lives as His children. That's part of our harvest celebration. So back to those questions. Which one of these is God speaking to you today? Will we renew our thanksgiving this harvest? Will we remember God's call this harvest? Will we get motivated about the reality of our relationship with God this harvest? Will we get refocused to live life well this harvest? Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank You for those questions that stir our hearts and our minds. I pray, Lord, that You would bring us to a place where we can respond positively to each one of them. Thank You, Lord, that we celebrate Your provision and Your love today. And in the midst of doing so, Lord, we want to offer ourselves to You. We thank you, Lord, for these gifts of food and the way in which people have responded. But, Lord, today we also bring ourselves and say, Lord of the harvest, take me. Lord of the harvest, inhabit me. Lord of the harvest, draw me to know you in a deeper way. And Father, as we are still before you for these moments, Lord, we recognise the amazing, amazing provision you've given to us and the privilege of living in this country. But Father, it would be wrong to proceed without recognising the places where there is pain and suffering and famine, where through man's injustice and stupidity and greed, so often people are struggling, where crops have failed through natural disasters, but more often than not, through the actions of people, preventing people from making their way in this world. Lord, we want to remember and pray for your mercy, but also pray that where we can, we would make a difference. We thank you, Father, for your people around this world who are seeking to bring aid and help and justice and hope into the lives of others. So, Lord, this harvest, we want to rejoice. We also pray for you to act for those who need your care and your provision. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.